I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of The Memo. It is Monday, November 9th, and back after, thankfully, a little bit of a dry Sunday.
Yeah.
Didn't rain anymore.
I hate rain. And I read a story today that we're going to have a wet winter, possibly.
Well, so I think more is on the way today, isn't it?
That's great.
That's fine.
Great. That's great.
Didn't keep Ole Miss from losing.
It's Monday. Why shouldn't it rain? Oh, man.
Sorry.
Ole Miss.
Sorry.
Yeah, so the Rebels losing a tough one in OT to Arkansas, 53-52. And if you didn't see it, I really don't know if I can describe what happened at the end of that game.
They lost. I'll tell you what happened.
Yeah, but the manner in which they lost when they really should have won, like at least twice they should have won at the end.
None of that fourth quarter made sense to anybody.
No, or the overtime when they had the fourth and 25. You know what the conversion percentage on that is? I don't either, but it's probably about 0.5%.
Well.
So they throw a pass to the tight end. He just blindly flips it back to the line of scrimmage.
At least it was by 1 point.
True. Yeah, and they went for two in overtime. Yeah. Arkansas, yeah. You know, you're on the road and you can't stop the other offense. Might as well. So
go for two.
Brett Bielema.
They did not. It's unfortunate.
You see what Brett Bielema said after the game?
I did not.
He said, I can't wait to
go
hop on my wife. He meant to say, hop on a plane and see my wife. And it just came out, I can't wait to go hop on my wife.
That's unfortunate.
And hey, after that kind of win, I can't blame him.
Mm.
A little Freudian slip there. Anyway.
It is Monday.
It is Monday. Mississippi State won back on Thursday against Missouri. And they got Alabama coming up this weekend. Big game for the Bulldogs. They could put themselves in the thick of the SEC West race if they can beat the Tide, which I don't know is going to happen. Alabama coming off a big win over LSU on Saturday. Ole Miss is off this week. So
2:30 in Starkville on Saturday.
CBS game.
It is a CBS game.
Uncle Vern's going to be there.
Oh, good.
People give Uncle Vern a lot of flack. And Gary Danielson, okay, I understand. He's
The Statler.
Vern Lundquist for life, okay?
The Statler and Waldorf.
Uncle Vern for life. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
His work on Happy Gilmore, I mean, come on.
I don't think that makes a career.
That's good stuff.
Whatsoever. What do we have today, Brian?
We got a packed show today. We're going to talk about the governor's race with Bobby Harrison. That's right. We're going to look ahead to 2019. This is like what people do the day after college football season is look ahead to the next year. So we're going to look ahead to the next election. Going to have Zach Osborne on the show. Going to talk about Buddy Palmer, who has for the past few days been filling in for the mayor. And also going to have Thomas Wells, chief photographer, in here to talk about a cool photo essay he did. And you heard his voice a while ago, by the way. We were talking about Ole Miss. Crime reports. We got crime reports today.
I'm so excited.
It's good stuff.
You got anything good for us?
I don't know. Maybe James shows up again. Who knows?
Don't you tip me with a good time, Bradlock.
Oh, boy.
Let's get started first off with Thomas, since he's here in the room with us. Thomas Wells, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are y'all today?
Doing well. I always look forward to these in-focus photo essays that you guys do for Monday's paper, and not just because I'm Sunday editor and I get to look at them, cheat and look at them ahead of time. But this one specifically, just because it was a really cool idea, tell us what you did for today.
I went around town to photograph a lot of the neon signs that businesses have, just because I was walking around downtown with my wife a few weeks ago and realized the Lyric had their marquee up, and I was like, oh, that's a really... I've been wanting to photograph it since I've been here for 15 years, but I saw it downtown for the first time without any cars parked in front of it. And I was like, oh, this is a really cool scene with the streetscape and everything. And so I decided, why not go ahead and spend a night riding around and see how many other neon signs are around. And didn't realize how many there are in Tupelo.
Yeah.
And there are quite a few, and they're all unique. I mean, you've got everything from the Neon Pig one, which unfortunately didn't make the cut in there.
But it's online.
It's online, which didn't make the cut in the print, to the Lyric, which probably dates back, God knows, probably at least close to 100 years probably, along with, you know, the Martinizing Cleaners one, which is also almost as old. So you had this eclectic brand of new and old and how they're being used in what is probably one of the most expensive signs you can put in front of a business.
Mm-hmm. One I had not thought about that I haven't seen in years, just because not being out on that side of town at dark, was the Wheel Estate
Mobile home
sign. I can remember that from being a kid.
That's another one that's forever old. Yeah, it's crazy how old that one is.
And you drive past a lot most of the time, probably don't even think about it. I mean, the TVA arrow at Crosstown.
Yep. Yeah, you take them for granted.
That's a classic thing there with the Tupelo icon right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And on top of it, I didn't realize that the Pepper's Deli sign was neon until I drove past it and pulled into the parking lot. I'm like, that's neon. I just thought it was a backlit fluorescent light, you know, until I really got paying attention to it.
I'm curious, as a photographer, talk a little inside baseball, so to speak.
Talk shop.
Yeah, when you're because I don't know anything about it, really. But when you're shooting at night,
we
obviously
call that talk idiot.
Yeah. Okay. Talk idiot. When you shoot, I mean, I know shooting at night is a challenge anyway. I've heard you talking about trying to shoot football games on a poorly lit field and whatnot.
Yes.
So is there any particular challenge shooting neon lights, or is it pretty straightforward?
No, I wish it was straightforward. It's extremely hard because the lights are so bright in comparison to everything else around it. We call the light range is so great. And most of the time, the cameras can't see everything. You either blow the lights out and you just get this really bright square and everything else is exposed.
Yeah.
Or just the opposite. You get the lights exposed properly. Everything else around it is jet black.
Yeah, I've noticed that when trying to take pictures with my phone in the past. You know.
Yeah, your eye can see much more latitude in the light range than a camera can see.
Right.
And that's why it makes people frustrated. Well, I can see it with my eye. Well, yes, your brain is a great thing.
That's why the moon looks really cool in the sky, but when you take your iPhone and take a picture of the moon, it's like crap.
Not so much. So what was funny is I came in, I was shooting it like Monday and Tuesday night, and I had to go back to what we call old school, where I actually had to dodge and burn in the camera, put my hand in front of the lens and kind of block the light from where the neon was and kind of roll my hand around to keep it from exposing. Like, those exposures were like 45, 50 seconds long, but I only needed to expose the film or the sensor for 5 seconds to get the neon. So I would hold my can in front of the camera and that wherever the neon was for 35, 40 seconds, and then the last five, I would move my hand out of the way and let the neon expose. So I did it what we call old school. That's what you do in a film. You couldn't.
Yeah.
We didn't have Photoshop.
Right, exactly.
And Photoshop takes too long.
Yeah, that too. And the photos in front of the martinizing cleaner, you kind of see that with the headlights kind of streaming past because it's the long exposure.
Yeah, exactly. That's like a minute's exposure. And if you'll notice in that particular photograph, the blue lights from a police car screaming down the street.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so you get the flashing effect as it pops as it goes down the street. So yeah, it was fun.
Yeah,
and that's the whole point of that In Focus series,
right,
is to do stuff that we want to shoot, not being quote forced or being assigned something. We just go out and find whatever we want to, show on a 4 or 5 photo essay. So it makes it fun. We all get one a month. So
is there anything in town you didn't get?
Yes, there's a couple I didn't get. I didn't get. Hang on, I got the pig. I was wondering about Romy's because I almost didn't get Romy's because of the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, there was a couple out on West Main that I didn't end up getting. I was really worried about shooting too much, and I ended up having 5 or 6 that I didn't get to run.
Right.
And there was a couple that I didn't get to shoot. Hang on. I had a list. Harvey's, I didn't get to shoot Harvey's, because that's kind of like Sweet Peppers. It was just, it's kind of a backlit. There was a couple more like that. I almost didn't get to shoot Neon Pig, because this couple from North Carolina came out in the parking lot and talked to me for an hour because they'd seen me downtown shooting the Tupelo sign, and they were like, "Oh, this is the great if you're waiting." I was like, "Oh God,
fans."
Yes. Well,
could you give me 10 minutes?
Well, then another funny thing, what kind of frustrated me was, I was shooting the lyric, and I'd call Tom Booth that morning and said, "Hey, turn the sign on tonight. I'll text you at 8 when I'm gonna be by there. Don't let and I texted you. I said, don't let anybody park in front of the lyric tonight so I can have it clean." So I'm sitting out there shooting the lyric in the middle of the road. No cars around, and this black Chrysler 300 comes up Jefferson and takes a left and comes right in front of me. Doesn't go around behind me where it's not in my picture. No. They go right through the parking lot where the parking spot is and stops right in front of the lyric and looks at me. The driver does. And who is it? Nettie Davis. And I'm waving it around like, "Get out of my picture! Move!" And so there's just one frame of this slow-rolling car, and it just stops in front of the lyric, and it kind of eases off, and it's Nettie Davis.
That's funny.
The ghost of Nettie Davis appears in one of my photographs.
Councilwoman Nettie Davis.
Yes.
In her black Chrysler. That's...
Yes, at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night, cruising around downtown Tupelo.
Keep an eye on you, Thomas.
Several iconic ones, like the one hour martinizing and the lyric, and a couple of new ones. I'd forgotten Mugshots
was really cool.
Yeah, that's a cool one.
That was a really cool one.
As well as Zip Scripts. I didn't think about it being neon.
Other one I liked a lot, too, was the Davis Alley one, where the Stables is. Because now with the cigar shop next door, it kind of has that New Orleans, Bourbon Street feel with all the green lights. It kind of looks like Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm.
I was really... as we call it, stoked about that photo. Now, that was one I was trying to shoot in the street and not get run over at the same time. Because that street is really busy at night.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. Yes,
I didn't realize how busy that street was.
A lot of activity.
Well, this it took, you know, probably 6 or 7 hours to shoot all of that.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think people realize how much work goes into taking pictures. You don't just pop your camera up, take a couple, and go back, and you're done.
Yeah, you talk about a minute or so exposure per frame, and you've got to wait, like the Martinizing Cleaner sign. You've got to wait for the traffic to get through Crosstown to show the light, so you got to wait 4 minutes for a bunch of cars to come through. And then it's a minute, you know, so it's 10 minutes just for one picture. And if you're going to shoot 10 or 15 photographs to make sure you got it right, that's almost an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Just on one bloody picture.
Yeah.
So it's... Huh. It is what it is.
Now, I think it's cool that we can kind of give people a better idea of what y'all do by having these in focus essays every
year. Absolutely. And if anybody has an idea for one, we are more than happy to take any ideas for in focus because, you know, we all have one and we all have a list of things that we want to shoot, but we don't, you know, we kind of live in our own little world. So if anybody has an idea that, hey, this would be a kind of a neat idea, feel free to send it on. It's infocus@djournal.com, well, D-Journal Inc. or whatever that.
Yeah, you know, infocus@journalinc.com.
That's it.
.com. Yeah.
We change emails so much, addresses, I can't keep up with them. I just know I've got one and it gets to me and I'm not real worried. I don't even know what it is.
Oh, that's good stuff. All right, Thomas. Appreciate you, man.
Y'all have a good day.
Yes, sir.
Don't work too hard.
All righty, let's welcome Zach Osborne back into the show. What's up, Zach? I got your name right.
Yeah, kind of.
Nah, close enough?
Yeah, close enough. Okay. I've heard way worse, so it's okay.
It is Osborne, right?
Yeah.
What did I say?
It was like Osborne or something.
Osborne? Ermagerd? Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Pardon his drawl.
Yeah.
Happens.
Anyway, yeah, you had a story on Sunday that's kind of interesting. Buddy Palmer. Mm-hmm. City Council President in Tupelo, acting as mayor last week. He was the big cheese because Jason Shelton was in London at this Economic Development Expo thing, whatever it was over there across the pond. So Buddy Palmer filling in for several days. And so what exactly, I mean, he's doing Jason Shelton's job, obviously, but like how much of his job, or is it like whatever normal business is going on, he handles that?
Right. Well, most of the time, he said the biggest part is being available, kind of like the mayor is.
Yeah.
You know, the mayor has an open door policy, so he's there whenever he's needed. And for the most part, he does what the mayor does. He goes to ribbon cuttings. He has a welcome speech for a teachers group that's coming in, and he also has to give a speech for the Marine Corps' anniversary. So he's kind of going to some quality of life stuff and
speaking
as the mayor.
Okay. I mean, yeah, representing the city just the way Jason is when he's in town.
Yeah, he said he's not as eloquent as the mayor, but he's taller.
And he coached Jason in football apparently way back when. So he's got that.
That's one of the when I asked him why he thought Shelton trusted him to be acting mayor. He said because they go way back because he taught him 5th, 6th grade peewee football. And so, and he knows his family, and he said Shelton would trust any councilman, but the history they have, he knows a little bit more about Buddy Palmer.
Sure, exactly. And Buddy's done this before, and he did it when Jason and some other folks from the city went to Denver for the All-America City thing.
Yeah, he's done it 3 or 4 times, and he said luckily nothing major's happened.
Yeah.
And I asked him, like, what would happen if a crisis were to occur? And he brought up the tornado or the shooting that happened.
Right.
And he said he would kind of be a liaison to make announcements. And he pretty much goes through Don Lewis. He said he's very well informed.
And then was Jason available, you know, just to get him on the phone if they needed to, if something like that arose, I would assume?
I think so. I asked him how closely he interacts with the mayor. And he said he doesn't really like to bug him while he's overseas, so he pretty much just goes through Don Lewis, which I'm sure Don has access to the mayor.
Exactly. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, Buddy's he's been around a while.
Right.
It's a nice way of saying he's older than Jason. Again, he coached Jason. So a guy like that, he's got that experience and that knowledge, very well-versed in how the city runs.
Right.
I mean, you know, I don't know if that he'd ever want to be mayor, but it seems like the really good choice.
I asked him if he were ever elected mayor, kind of what his platform would be, and he said he wouldn't want to copycat anyone, but he would focus a lot on quality of life, schools, and keeping crime rates down. He had an idea to gather the council members on the CVB bus and take them on the tour of all the projects going on in Tupelo so they can be better informed of what all is going on so they can make better decisions. So he has a few ideas for the council and if he were mayor.
So, no, Buddy's done this several times. Just how tough a job is it to be mayor and from his perspective?
Yeah, he said that being a councilman is not a 24/7 job like the mayor's job is. He said that they pull and tug him to be everywhere at all times, and he kind of has a lot of respect because it's a demanding job, and not everybody knows what goes on. So.
Yeah, good deal. All right, that story by Zach, again, is in Sunday's Journal, and you can find it at djournal.com. Zach, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, it's been almost a week since the big state elections, and we still got plenty of stuff to talk about in that regard. Bobby Harrison joining us from Jackson, our Capitol Bureau reporter. Bobby, how are you doing?
All right, how you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing okay, man. I had a story over the weekend about the voter turnout. We kind of wondered going in what the turnout would be. Delbert Hoseman, Secretary of State, was predicting a low turnout. We thought maybe the Initiative 42 would drive a few more people to the polls. But I guess, a little over 700,000 votes cast, Bobby?
Yeah, Secretary Hoseman was Nostradamus in this case. It was an exceedingly low turnout. While there's still some votes be trickling in over the next couple of days, affidavit ballots and stuff, right now it's just under 710,000 votes cast, which would be, going back to 1983, that would be the lowest total. It's probably going to pass the lowest total, which is 711,000 in 1991, and it probably will pass that, but it may not get much past that.
And one thing interesting, we kind of saw this back in the primaries with Robert Gray, but just like people get to filling out the ballot, and as you noted in your story, they vote for, Phil Bryant got 2/3 of the vote, and once people vote for him, it seems like they just go right down the ballot and vote the same party. I guess that's a normal kind of thing.
Well, it's not accurate to say everybody does that,
right.
But a significant number of people do it, and of course, Jim Hood, Attorney General, Democratic Attorney General, the only statewide elected Democrat, was the exception to that.
He
still won by a fairly comfortable margin. But the top of the ticket does make a difference. And when the Democrats didn't have a competitive candidate for governor, it really put them at a disadvantage on down the ticket. Particularly put them at a disadvantage in the legislative races. There's really no shot for a Democrat in any other election, statewide election, because they just didn't have the money or the name recognition to compete with the Republican incumbents.
And speaking of the legislature, it looks like the Republicans may get that supermajority that Philip Gunn, House Speaker, was kind of gunning for. We talked last week about the possibility of someone switching parties, and then I think that same day of that podcast, Jody Steverson of Ripley switched from Democrat to Republican. So, we're still waiting for a few affidavit ballots, but is that supermajority pretty much in the bag now?
Well, there's two close elections, one down on the coast where David Barrier, a Democrat from Bay St. Louis, has what looks like to be an insurmountable lead. But the Republican is going to sort of check those ballots out. It's around, just in round terms, I think it's around 100 votes Barrier's up. So he's going to check those ballots out. But, smart money would be that Barrier would hold on to that seat. One that is more in doubt is a rural district in Smith County in the Raleigh-Taylorsville area where long-term incumbent Bo Eaton, a Democrat, is just a handful of votes down. I'm talking 5 or 6 votes down to his Republican challenger, an attorney from Ripley. An attorney from Raleigh named Tullis. And so I talked to Eaton Friday afternoon, and he said he was definitely going to look at the ballots and especially the affidavit ballots to make sure there's a legitimate reason for the ones that weren't counted to not be counted. But so that race could go on for a couple more days. And the key thing to remember in these legislative elections, essentially it comes down to the legislative body on who they decide to seat. So there have been instances in the past where the losing candidate actually went to the legislature to challenge the outcome of the election, and then ultimately decide is a decision of the majority of the legislative body who they want to seat. So I mean, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that's something to keep in mind as the process moves forward.
Right. Real quick, Bobby, let's go ahead, because why not, and look toward the 2019 gubernatorial race.
Why not?
Can the Democrats get the Republicans out of the state capitol? I know we mentioned Brandon Presley as a possibility last week. Who's their best shot, at least looking at it from 4 years out?
Well, I mean, you know, you got to say Brandon Presley is the Northern District Purpose Public Service Commissioner, as we talked about last week. He's a very astute politician. He's a, you know, Northeast Mississippian, so he would probably get some regional, you know, hometown native son votes that would normally go to Republican. He'd probably get some of those votes, just as Hood gut does. And, you know, you can't discount Hood either. He's finished. He's now starting his, fourth term as Attorney General.
Yeah.
Whether he'll want to run for Attorney General again in 2019, or whether he'll want to just retire and go into private law practice, or, you know, he may decide, on my way out, I'm gonna run for governor. If he did, he'd be a formidable candidate, too. So, I mean, I think the two obvious possible candidates out there are Hood and Brandon Presley. I think they're close enough. They're both Northeast Mississippians. I can't see a scenario where they'd both run for the office. It would be a scenario where if one of them was going to run for office, he'd go and talk to the other one and say, are you interested in running for this office? And they'd work out some type of deal.
Yeah.
I can't see a situation where they both would run.
Okay. And on the Republican side, Bobby, with you know, Phil Bryant, this is his second term, so he'll have to step down. Who do you think maybe steps into the field?
Oh, Brad, that's going to be fun. I mean, you know, everybody thinks Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves is a surefire candidate to run for governor. There's a school of thought that House Speaker Philip Gunn would also run, which you had a scenario where the two presiding officers, Reeves in the Senate and Gunn in the House, ran for governor at the same time. That would just create an interesting dynamic. And one I don't think they ever had in Mississippi, even though both of those positions are, you would think, logical positions to run for governor. But, you know, in the past, in the old days, the legislature was so strong, you seldom, you know, if you got to be speaker, you really didn't want to be governor. Some people thought you were more powerful as speaker than as governor. That's kind of changed. The two-party system has kind of changed that dynamic. So you got to think Gunn and Reeves are possibilities. You know, other statewide office holders. Stacy Pickering, his auditor, could be Delbert Hoseman, Secretary of State. Some people think he might run for lieutenant governor. So there's just all sorts of interesting scenarios. You know, Treasurer Lynn Fitch, who has made the Jackson area home for a long time, is actually a Marshall County native. You know, she proved to be surprisingly strong this go-round. Whether she had run for governor, I don't know, but you know, I could see a little scenario where she might run for lieutenant governor. You know, there's just all sorts of possibilities on the Republican side.
Okay, good deal. Y'all can follow Bobby on Twitter at BobbyHarrison9. Check out his work in the Journal and at djournal.com. Bobby, thank you.
All right, y'all have a good day.
Too.
Tis Monday, Bradford.
It's Brad Lee, actually. It's my
should have never given told
name.
Me that.
Why not?
Ammunition. It's Monday, and that means crime reports.
Crime reports.
What do we got?
Oh, we got some highlights from last week, Derek.
Do tell.
A female entered Star Nails on West Main and got a pedicure. Okay.
Well, how dare she?
When she tried to pay, her credit card was declined. Mm-hmm. The woman left her driver's license at the business and said she would run to the bank to get cash.
That happens.
When the woman had not returned in 3 hours, the manager called the police. I guess he really didn't want her license back.
What? I mean, something could have happened. Let's not jump to conclusions. 3 hours is, in mall traffic, 3 hours is nothing.
Well, this time of year, I made the mistake of going to the mall over the weekend.
Don't do that.
And it's already insane.
Don't do that.
I'm not coming back until February.
We went
February.
To the movies Friday night, and that was, just don't go up there.
Thing is, I won't be able to avoid it because I have teenage daughters.
No. Well, they can walk.
Yeah, well, that's a good idea.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Uber Tupelo.
Does Christmas shopping start after Halloween now?
Apparently.
Before.
Yeah.
I know people who are done. Do you know how sad that is?
That's actually not a bad idea, though, to get it done now. Then you don't have to deal with the crap, because it's just going to get worse, the lines and the parking.
Humbug.
I don't know.
Don't.
Of course, we're going to wait till the last minute, like we always do.
Yes, that is the way it's done. You order it all online at the same time, it all ships to the house. By December 23rd. That's the way it happens.
That's the way to do it.
Shop local, Derek.
Well,
some of these places have old line.
Walmart has local establishments here. Oh, man. Okay.
I used to always go Christmas shopping at the Village Green, but the Village Green's no longer there anymore. So.
No, it's too bad. That's true. Okay, a man fired from Mitchell Distributing showed up to get his last check. The company said they could not give him the check until he turned in a company-issued jacket. The man got irate and threatened the employees with physical harm to their persons and their property.
Oh, it's a jacket, buddy. It's a
It must have been a pretty sweet jacket,
I don't
know.
He may not even have the jacket. He's like, I don't even have the jacket anymore. Just give me my check.
Remember one time when I worked at Walmart.
Yes, it's not that good. Oh, okay.
Worked at Walmart the summer after my senior year. Hated it.
Yeah.
I quit after like a month or two.
Well, that's
turn in my little vest.
Yeah. Ooh.
Screw that.
You rebel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't even
make it a month. Surprised you got a vest.
I didn't even go
in
to quit. I just basically didn't stop showing up.
They're still garnishing your wages. They're still expecting. There's one manager there. Brad's going to show up. Where was this?
This was the Walmart in Ruston, Louisiana, which I was on the crew that helped open it when they built it.
They're still sitting there going, it's today. Brad's going to show up today.
The toilet paper holders in that Walmart's bathrooms, I put those in.
Brad is going to be here today. Let's get the banner ready. He's coming today, guys.
Yeah.
They think you've been in a coma for, when was this?
1994.
They think you've been in a coma for 11 years.
Yeah, I just called in
or
sick.
Or 21 years.
I called in.
Or 21 years. That's even worse. I don't do math on Mondays.
I called in sick one day because I didn't want to miss a baseball game, and I don't think I ever went back.
What was the game?
Huh?
What was the game? Who was playing?
That depends.
My baseball all-star team. We were playing in a tournament.
Oh no! Then this is not. I mean, if it was like Mets or something,
we lost.
Something important. So is this? I'm glad you brought this up because your review is about to start. Your work ethic has come into question a little bit.
I've come back every day here for 13 years. So,
but there's some other place that still thinks you're.
Hey, no.
In a coma
and I worked at a Sam's in St. Louis a couple of years later.
That lasted about a month. You have a track record.
I did turn in my vest. Oh, I hated it. I absolutely hated it.
I'm surprised
everything.
You were able to get hired at a Sam's after working at a Walmart.
This was St. Louis. I hate everything about the company. Not that I'm like against the idea of the company. Mm-hmm. I just think they're too pervasive. And
why did you go back?
I needed work.
For a month?
Yeah, I know. It's a long story, okay? My wife and I were dating. She lived in St. Louis. I moved up there. I had to find some kind of work.
Uh-huh.
So I did that, and then I DJed on the weekends, parties and whatnot.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you did what on the weekends?
I buried the lead there, Brad. Yeah.
I wasn't a very good DJ, but I did DJ some.
We have totally skipped past the most important part of this story.
I did bat mitzvahs. I did high school dances. I did just regular old birthday parties, just everything.
Well, I know who's DJing the Journal Christmas party this year.
What was your favorite song to play?
I don't know, but apparently one time the customers, they write a little, fill out a form reviewing how you did, and apparently one party in downtown St. Louis, I played too much Elvis, they said, which, like, I don't know how you can play too much Elvis.
So you moved to Tupelo.
Whatever, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll just come here and play all I want.
About 2 months later, I was in Tupelo, yeah.
You'll never hear that here.
Mm-mm. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, that story took a wild turn. I'm telling you, there's a Walmart somewhere just expecting you to show up today.
I doubt any of those people are still there. If they are, I'm
Manager
sad
Gene,
for them.
He's just sitting there every day. Come on, Brad. Don't let me down again. He's got an entire wall of tally marks. In his office. Just, here's another one.
I think they probably just assume I was dead because I called in sick and never showed up.
The missing persons report is vast.
I don't think they cared.
That's when your head was shaved, probably.
I don't think it was quite yet. That was the next year.
All right.
Okay. Anyway.
We're going to need to come back around to this DJ thing later. I feel like that'll happen. Just the heads up. Just FYI.
Okay, thanks. A man was seen walking up and down the street in front of a West Jackson pool hall. I know which pool hall that is. There's only one on West Jackson.
Sharpshooters.
Yes, Sharpshooters. The man did not have
Yeah,
it's the only one in Tupelo, maybe. I
don't
know.
Yeah.
The man did not have a city permit for his demonstration and was asked to leave. He complied.
What was he demonstrating?
I don't know. Just a Slinkies? One-man demonstration. Maybe it was James.
Yeah. When was this?
This was like early last week.
I was going to say, we've had a lot of demonstrations here this week.
No, we did.
So he was just having a demonstration.
One-man demonstration, walking up and down the street in front of the pool hall. I don't know what
we don't know if he was selling gold Rolex. tuxes. I don't know what
he was. I guess he was boycotting something. I don't know.
The pool hall?
Maybe.
Well, that's a place to do it.
I guess.
If you were going to boycott the pool hall, I guess you'd do it right in front of there.
True. Okay, one more.
Sure.
An officer responded to a drunk driver hitting a parked car on North Green Street around noon last Sunday. There's an open bottle of Colt 45 in the floorboard.
And two zigzags?
Works every time. The man admitted he had been drinking all day. When asked if he was drunk, he said, "Hell yeah, I'm bad drunk." When the man
quotes. Okay.
"Hell yeah, sure. I'm bad drunk." When the man got out of the car, the officer noticed he had urinated on himself. And his pants were on inside out.
Well.
He was charged with DUI, open container, and no license. So that guy had a one-man party with...
Where did this happen?
North Green. That's, I guess, out past MLK Elementary.
With a Colt 45.
Colt 45 works every time.
Billy D. Williams.
I bet Billy D. Williams never peed his pants inside out.
Listen, Lando Calrissian probably had a few too many one time or another. But no, inside out, that's just sad.
It is pretty bad.
Unless that's a look now.
So, he was drunk before he even got dressed.
Were they inside out or were they backwards?
I don't know. Remember Crisscross?
Yes. One of those guys want to jump.
One of those guys died a couple years ago.
Because in 2015 in Back to the Future, all the kids wear their pants inside out now.
True. So I'm just saying
if he's getting with the trends. Getting with it.
Yeah. Okay.
Were they inside out or were they backwards?
It's said inside out.
Okay. Well, then, yeah. He's just.
Is Billy D. Williams in the new Star Wars, by the way?
No.
Really? He's like the only one.
Not reportedly.
They got Harrison Ford. They got Carrie Fisher. They got Chewbacca.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the same guy in the Chewbacca costume?
Peter Mayhew, yeah.
Well, how old is he now?
He's old.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all old. I mean, they're all pretty old now.
True. They're all very old. Although Chewbacca doesn't really look like he's aged.
No. In fact, he had some work done.
Fur transplants?
No, they just... dyed him.
Dipped him in a vat of dye.
That little brush.
Hold your breath, Chewy.
It's on like a 70th brush after doing it for so long. Pretty much everybody came back.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
But, you know, Billy D was only in two of them, so.
True.
He wasn't in the first one.
Okay, yeah.
It's fine. They didn't bring James Earl Jones back either, so.
Yeah, that's too bad. But they don't really need him to because Darth Vader's dead.
Spoilers.
If you haven't seen the movie that came out almost four decades ago.
Any mugshots?
Yeah, we had one guy who looked like he was high. I'm sure he wasn't. But he was charged with possessing drug paraphernalia, so maybe, you know.
But it wasn't our gentleman that was, heck yeah, I'm drunk.
No, I didn't see one of him.
Admitting.
At least he admitted it. Most guys are like, go through the police reports consistently. Most people that get DUIs, they're like, I just had a couple of beers.
Sure, officer, hold my beer. And just
I just had a couple. Whatever. A couple meaning like 10. This guy is just, at least he's honest. It's like, hey, I got my pants on inside out, I peed myself, and I'm drunk.
You know how fast
what does it look like?
You know how fast you're going? You know how ugly you are? Things you shouldn't say to a police officer.
Yeah.
There's a great Jeff Foxworthy. Those words have never been said before. Great Jeff Foxworthy. There's a great Jeff Foxworthy
He's okay.
Thing about getting pulled over drunk.
I don't know if I've heard that one.
His
dad?
No, about he's got a boat hooked up to the back of the truck.
Oh, yeah. I think I've heard
that. Could you ask your friends to get out of the boat, please?
Yeah.
No, sir, I don't care how fast you got to go. Yeah.
I've still got a couple of Jeff Foxworthy CDs in my house.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Bill Engvall as well.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it was the 90s.
I was quitting Walmarts left and right. It was questionable time.
I was making bad life decisions.
I was DJing bat mitzvahs.
Well, it was a rough time in my life.
Please tell me what your DJ name was.
I didn't have a DJ name.
No, you had a DJ name.
I did not.
No, I need to know.
I didn't have one.
You had one.
I worked for a place called TKO DJs in St. Louis.
You worked for a company?
It was a DJ company.
Uh-huh.
So it was like...
I just thought she went out on her own.
No, I don't know how many people it was, but no. I mean, I didn't have my own equipment, so... You know,
what was this place called?
TKO DJs. The owner was named Matt Williams. I don't know if they're still around. This was like 17, 18 years ago.
St. Louis.
Let's
have a little Google.
And I mean, there are probably a dozen.
St. Louis's most trusted DJ and entertainment professionals.
Well, they're still around then.
Oh, they're on South Big Bend in Maplewood, Missouri.
They moved up in the world. Yeah. They were in this little tiny storefront.
Homes, weddings, school dances, private parties, corporate events. Well, they've moved up, but the website, however, has not.
Last party I did for them was a Valentine's Day party. I had like 10 rum and cokes. So I went out with a bang.
Were you drunk?
They were free.
Heck yeah, I was drunk.
What do you think?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, that's what...
I mean, I can hold my
liquor. Website, however, looks like it was made on GeoCities or Angel Fire, so well, it's not really... they didn't move up
They're known by reputation now, I guess.
Be a TKO DJ.
Hey, I was. I just walked in. The guy, like, had me... I can't remember what he had me do.
That's great.
But he's like, yeah, okay. You're hired.
Oh, but they do have it in a PDF form.
You're hired.
Hey, Technical knockout disc jockeys. They actually spell out the name of TKO DJs on the application.
And now I did have a...
this application for employment is 5 pages long.
Wow. I didn't have to do that. I just walked in. They basically said, okay, you've worked for a radio station. You're hired.
Hey, you're the guy that quit Walmart. This is the guy that quit Walmart after a month. We're getting here.
I did have a name when I worked at a country station in Ruston, Louisiana. I didn't use my real name because I don't know why. I guess I was...
You were trying to be cool?
Probably.
Like a few people here in Tupelo that aren't using their real names? Come on, people.
Can you guess what my name was? It was really dumb.
Lockie?
I was like 19 or 20. No. I just used the first name. It's kind of a...
Bradley.
No. Did not use my real name.
Oh, I don't know.
I went by Wayne. I don't know why.
What was Wayne's last name?
Just Wayne. Hey, it's Wayne with your afternoon shift.
Oh, God.
No, I work the evening shift, 7 to midnight. KXKZ 107.5. Today's country hits. This is Wayne with you for the next 5 hours. Got some George Strait and Garth coming up. A little Radney Foster for you right now.
Currently 74 at the station and sunny. Why do you tell me things that you know are going to come back to haunt you?
I don't know. I'm dumb.
Oh, me.
I mean, I called myself Wayne on the radio. How smart do you think I really am?
TKO DJs.
Yeah.
I just love that it spells out technical knockout DJs. Yeah. Oh, good times. Okay, well, that's going to do it for us today because I can't handle anything more to push off onto Brad. I don't forget
my
about
employment history is quite interesting. I've got more we can talk about later about the feed store.
Let's save some. Let's save some.
Okay.
I need something for Wednesday to look forward to. Don't forget about the Bridal Journal Expo coming up on Sunday, November 15th at the Kingfisher Lodge in Verona. That's at 2 p.m. You can register at bridaljournal.ms/expo. It's a great way for brides and grooms, mostly brides, but, you know, bring your groom with you. He should be involved in some part of the wedding planning process. Bring him along and great consultations. There's VIP packages. There's even a grand prize. A gift that's valued at $1,000. So check that out, bridaljournal.ms/expo.
Also, don't forget about Thrive Marketing. It's a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses online at thrive.ms. And Thursday... Don't forget, the Double Coverage podcast will return with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. They'll talk about Ole Miss and MSU sports. They'll look back at this tough Ole Miss loss to Arkansas, look ahead to MSU visiting Alabama in a big SEC West showdown. You can listen to it again Thursday, doublecoverage.djournal.com on iTunes or your podcast app. Good stuff.
Thanks, Wayne.
Great.
Yeah, you did it to yourself. I know I can never enter a Walmart with you because they're just waiting to pounce you.
I think I remember now.
Probably got your picture posted in the wall.
I think I remember now why I went by Wayne. I had a friend whose name was Daniel but went by Pete. I don't know why. He would just call me Bradley.
Very confusing.
He would call me Bradley Wayne for some reason.
Bradley Wayne.
That's not my middle name. He would call me. He'd say, hey, Bradley Wayne.
What is your middle name?
Sounded good. I'm not telling. You've got enough ammo. Thank you.
Internet.
No, I don't know if you'll find it. You might.
Yeah, you would be surprised what I could find.
Well, you can find it on your own then, you and Mr. Google.
Yes.
So
tune in Wednesday to find out Brad's middle name or Wayne, whatever his name is. Is Brad your middle name? Is it
Bradley is my
Brad's
first name.
Your first name.
What's your first name? Is it Wayne? Because it's W. Derrick Russell.
Uh-huh.
Is it Wayne Derrick Russell?
Yeah, that's it. You got me. You got the Wayne.
Yeah.
No, I just stuck an initial in the front of it. I don't know. I'm actually one of those weird people that doesn't have a middle name.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe
it's Derrick Russell.
I don't believe you.
I'm sorry if you don't believe me.
I'm not buying it.
It's fine.
I mean, Mr. Google is going to find out the truth.
You go right ahead. I've erased most of those files.
Or I could just go down to HR and ask them, I guess.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. While you're there, let's talk about your work history. Check out all of Wayne's shenanigans online.
Shut up.
At Locktoberfest.
At Brad Lock. Oh, I need to change my Twitter name.
Is it still Locktoberfest?
It's still Locktoberfest.
What do you do for November?
I don't know. I got to figure something out. I was really proud of myself for Locktoberfest.
I'm sure you were.
So I got to come up with something else for November.
So, this show needs to end today. check him out online at Brad Lock. I'm at W Derek Russell. The W doesn't stand for anything. It's like the points on whose line is it anyway? The points don't matter. We're online at D Journal Memo, the official Twitter for the podcast. Also, memo.djournal.com. You can find out all the news we talked about today at djournal.com. And you can follow the Daily Journal's official Twitter at D Journal Now for all breaking news. And we'll be back again on Wednesday.
Yay, we'll find out new stuff about me.
Like Brad's middle name. See you then.